Praise the Lord. Debbie, did I leave my water back there? Oh, well, I was going to have you send it out to Jake. That's special delivery. Praise the Lord. So this morning I asked just a couple, the ones that didn't need it, really. They have all the energy. But I just felt like, you know, if we had a nap, maybe we'd have more power, you know, in the evening service. Because I know we are tired at the end of the weekend. Isn't that amazing? The weekend is to rest, and yet we're so busy, we're dead dog tired on Sunday night. And sorry if I woke anybody up. That could work against us, huh? I'm sorry. So if you didn't take your nap earlier, you're welcome to take it now. I used to teach or preach at a nursing home in Austin, Texas, and a lot of the people slept. And I thought, you know what? They may not get much sleep, so this is a good time. If I can help that out, then I'm happy to do that. So same here. If you guys need your rest, then go ahead. If you want to turn in the book of Zechariah chapter 4, I quote the scripture a lot, but we're going to read a few more, add to it tonight. I'm so thankful for the mercy of God and what opportunity that we have, being able to come and to worship the Lord and feel the Spirit of God. How many likes the Holy Spirit interaction with our lives? I don't know what we'd do without that. And the reason I ask for people to take, or for the young people to come, is because young people inspire energy in older people. When we were young, when we were in our 20s, we'd come out and we'd inspire the older people who were prayer warriors, and they'd pray for us. Wow, what a benefit that was. And some of them we might not inspire so much as aggravate, but they still prayed for us, even aggravated. And who knows what blessings we got from that. So we need the young people to really come in and kind of give, you know, pull the load and be excited and enthused about Jesus. And we need the older people to be able to pray and to lead and guide and to show concern for those that are younger. So we're going to speak tonight on a never-ending supply. Zechariah 4, and we'll read several scripture here, most of the chapter. It says, now the angel who talked with me came back and wakened me as a man who was wakened out of his sleep. Taking a nap. And he said to me, what do you see? Now he's been speaking with this angel. He saw different things. And he goes on, and there's at least one more thing that the angel shows him after this. But it's interesting that the angel's saying, what do you see? And then he's able to describe it and then get explanation for what it is. So I said, I'm looking, and there is a lampstand of solid gold with a bowl on top. And on the stand, seven lamps with seven pipes to the seven lamps. Two olive trees are by it, one at the right of the bowl and the other at its left. And I answered and spoke to the angel who talked with me, saying, what are these, my Lord? This reminds me a bit of what we read in Revelation chapter 1 this morning, of Jesus standing in the midst of the lamp stands, and there's seven of them there as well. The Lord's consistent, isn't he? He keeps things together so we can understand it. The angel who talked with me answered and said to me, do you not know what these are? And I said, no, my Lord. And he answered and said to me, I'm glad he didn't know, because I like what he said. He said, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel. It's not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Who are you, O great mountain, before Zerubbabel? You will become a plain. That's a plain, which means flat. And he shall bring forth the capstone, that's the last piece of the building, and with shouts of grace to it, grace. And then I answered and said, well, what are these two olive trees at the right of the lampstand and at its left? And I further answered and said to him, what are these two olive branches that drip into the receptacles of the two gold pipes from which the golden oil drains? And we're going to stop right there. Brother Connor, would you ask a blessing on the message tonight? Amen. Never-ending supply. There was one thing I was going to do tonight as kind of an object lesson, and that is take our PYPA banner out of this room over here and put it right here where you could see it. We have been looking at this verse for a long time on that banner because it says, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. And I think this is one of the absolute most awesome scripture that lets us know that God is mighty and powerful. And when we try to take on doing God things ourselves, we're going to mess it up. We are not mighty enough. We're not powerful enough. We need the Spirit of God in us, inspiring us, directing us, leading us, and guiding us. We cannot do the God thing by ourselves. And what God wants to do in our lives, we need to have the Spirit breathing in our hearts all the time. Now, we come together and we worship, and the Lord's presence is so mighty in this church. And we feel Him every time we gather together. And we're the ones that say, okay, I've had enough, right? Oh, right? We're the ones that have control over how much of God's Spirit we let in. Now, I do want to say this. I appreciate Sister Sherry and her willingness to sing that song. There's going to be a meeting in there. I requested that. Really, I waited too late, and I apologize for that. And then the singers are going to come back after this message, and they're going to sing again. And why? Because it helps us to pray when we have the singing and the worshiping continuing on. And we need to pray. As Brother Connor said, we have serious situations here, and God is ready to answer, but He's waiting for us to ask. He knows what we need before we ask, but He still says to ask. And we need that practice and practicing our faith and knowing that our God can do all things. And the scripture in the book of Genesis, it said that the Spirit was hovering over the earth as the creation was going on. And throughout time, we have seen that God, by His Spirit, has done the impossible. We need some impossible being done right now. We need some healings in the church. Amen? We need some people that are weakened, and we need to bear under prayer and bear the load in prayer and see victory in their lives. And God is able. God is fully able. And we just need to do our part. And it's not only here, but Brother Connor's mom in Sonora, and there's places all over. My nephew that's leaving Belarus is in Iceland here in the next time he lands. He's been in Warsaw, he's been in Sweden, and now he's going to Iceland, and then I presume he's coming on home. And we'll get to find out what's going on. There's people all over the world that our prayers can touch, and when we pray under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, the Scripture says that when they came together, they would sing with understanding, and they would sing in the Spirit, and that they would pray with understanding, and that they would pray in the Spirit. Now, I'm not one of those that believe you need to dictate to people. You need to pray in the Spirit. You pray in the Spirit when you feel God in that. But when we do, we can expect a whole different answer. Have you ever wanted to do something really bad? You wanted to, I don't know, maybe someone, there's times when you have a bully that's bigger and they put their hand on your head. How many's ever had that happen to you? Put their hand on your head and you want to murder them, right? And you can't because they're stronger. And there's a lot of times that we put forth all the effort that we can muster and we can't do the job. But there is never a time that the Holy Spirit cannot move and take that mountain. Now you think about a mountain. We're doing grading. Actually, little Bob was doing the grading up on a mountain up here in Cinnabar Hills. And he was moving big rocks. He had one big as a tractor nearly. And I said, it was up high and he was bringing it down. It was quite a ways that he had to come down. I said, whatever you do, don't let that rock get loose down that hill, because there's a couple of houses down there and it would have been messy. It would have been real messy. But Bob handled it. Little Bob handled it just right. He brought it down and he moved it over and he put it along the driveway where the owner was real proud of that rock. And the owner told me, he was from South Africa. He said, we'd have people out here doing all this. He said, we'd have 1,000 people. I said, well, we have a few, but they have a tractor and they can do the job. There's times when there's a great mountain ahead of us. And if we have to move it by shovelful, it's going to take some time. But when the Spirit of God gets involved, the Spirit of God can bring that mountain down flat and you can just walk on. You don't have any obstacle. You don't have anything in your way. And I believe with all of my heart, God wants us to walk straight across, not to have the obstacle. If you want to turn to the book of 2 Chronicles, chapter 12, verses 9 through 12. This book of Zechariah was written as people were coming back from the 70 years that they had been in captivity, and started by the Babylonians. And they were beginning to rebuild, and God was really serious about them getting with it and get the temple going. And so he did everything he could to inspire and lead them in that way. This section of scripture, 2 Chronicles, happens. We read this morning about in 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse 14, and we read where the temple was being dedicated and how the power of God was there. This is just a few years down the road when Solomon's son was the king, and things changed quickly. In Solomon's time, the Queen of Sheba came to see if, you know, I think they're telling me a lie about Solomon and his wisdom and all he has. And then when she came and she took a look, she said, wow. She said, it's greater than what I've heard. The half has not been told. But this, we're looking here at a really changed time for Judah. And it said in verse 9, so Shishak, the king of Egypt, came up against Jerusalem and took away the treasures of the house of the Lord. What inspired and what blessed and what amazed the Queen of Sheba? Here this guy from Egypt's coming up and he's taking it. The treasures of the king's house, and he took everything. He also carried away the gold shields which Solomon had made. Then King Rehoboam made bronze shields in their place and committed them into the hands of the captains of the guards who guarded the doorway of the king's house. And whenever the king entered the house of the Lord, the guard would go and bring them out, and they would take them back into the guard room. When he humbled himself, the wrath of the Lord turned from him, not as to destroy him completely, and things also went well in Judah. Remember in the days of Solomon, the scripture says that silver was like rocks on the ground. They were really blessed. God had really strengthened them. He loved the temple that Solomon had built. And Solomon had his ups and downs, but just one generation later, when Rehoboam took over, and he started off pretty good, and then he got kind of full of himself, and the Lord brought judgment. And the judgment was that Shishak, the king of Egypt, came and took everything, took it. Now, he didn't quite make it as far as he wanted to, because the glory of Egypt was not like it was years before. But King Rehoboam had shields made to replace the gold ones that were brass. Now, we realize brass is not gold. I used to work in a company years ago, and we took brass sawdust and mixed it into a bucket. It was a big bucket, and put some other things with it, and we melted it down, and we made different things for locks and golf clubs and tanks, settling tanks and stuff like that. We made a lot, and we started with the sawdust that had been used, and then it was being recycled again. But brass is a lot cheaper. It's not the real thing of gold. But to me, the illustration here is that sometimes people, when the real thing is taken away, they try to make up for it. And when it seems like that generations have come and things have changed and the Spirit of God is different, rather than seeking and going after the real thing, they just put up the brass shields and that'll be okay. But let me tell you what, there's no substitute for the power and the Spirit of God. Churches might as well close the door if they don't entertain the presence of the Holy Spirit of God. That's what God intended. The church age that has been the worst is the one that cuts the Holy Spirit out completely. And it creates darkness in the whole world. But we who have the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit, we're blessed. Tonight we have gold instead of the brass. We have the presence of the Lord, and we have all of the power that God has at our hands, because all we have to do is reach out and touch Him in the Spirit. I want to take you two more places. One in the book of John, chapter 4. This is when Jesus is talking to the little lady at the well. And it's chapter 4 and verses 23 and 24. Let me quote another scripture for you. In Jeremiah 29 and 11. How many know that already? Jeremiah 29 and 11. Says, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope." You know what's amazing about this scripture? That God gave this word right before they were going to go into captivity. And God wasn't saying, "Hey, you're not going to be punished for your disobedience." He was saying, "I'll bring you through it. And on the other side, I have great things in store for you if you pay attention." And he was saying this because of guys like Rehoboam that had forsaken the Lord and took Israel or Judah on a downward path. And that's a wonderful scripture of promise. But understand that in between, what was going to happen was devastating to Judah, because they were going to lose the temple that the Lord loved so much. But in the book of John 4 and 23, "But the hour is coming and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship Him." God is a spirit, and those who worship Him must worship Him in spirit and truth. We're here tonight, and we sit, and we are in our physical beings. We used to have people years ago and said, we need to get out of the flesh. It's going to be hard to get out of the flesh, because that's what we are. We're flesh and blood. We have bones. We have things going on inside of us. We're fearfully and wonderfully made. I believe that with all my heart. But we have an access to God through the Spirit that not everybody in the world has. When we come together and we sing our songs and we worship and we pray, God has given us an opportunity to reach out and to touch His very heart. And we need that in situations like we're in tonight, where we have great needs before us. And if we will just come and seek the Lord tonight and just make a bit of effort in prayer, it's amazing what God is going to do for us. We need to see miracles, and I believe we will. There's been a song that I've watched on YouTube from Hillsong, and I've seen it several times, and I just keep going on by because I didn't think it would be much. So just before church tonight, I clicked on it, and Darlene Check, the young lady that wrote Shout to the Lord, one of my very favorite songs, wrote this one. It's a very beautiful song, and I was foolish not to have clicked on it a long time ago. And it says, your eye is on the sparrow, and your hand, it comforts me. And from the ends of the earth to the depth of my heart, let your mercy and strength be seen. You call me to your purpose, as angels understand, for your glory. May you draw all men as your love and grace demand. And I will run to you, to your words of truth. And this is what kind of got me. Not by might, nor by power, but by the Spirit of God. Yes, I will run the race till I see your face. Oh, let me live in the glory of your grace. And I thought, oh my goodness, I should have, if I had known that, I would have pulled this song up and read it tonight, which I did anyway. But I will run to you. So we have an opportunity tonight to run to Jesus, to really seek him, not, Lord, you know, make me the conqueror, but Lord, you be the conqueror. And in me, Lord, and through my prayer and through my touching your heart tonight in the Spirit, because Sister Melva needs a miracle. Brother Connor's mom needs a miracle. My sister and brother-in-law need a miracle. And there's a lot of folks that need, and we need miracles in our life. We need his mercy and his provision, healing strength. And I'm going to ask the worship team to come back. And as they come and begin to sing, I'd like to invite everyone to find yourself a place and let's seek the Lord. Let's seek the Lord. Let's just take a minute or two here and let's get a hold of God. We have, in that vision that Zechariah saw, he saw the trees dripping right into the bowl to where they'd never run out of power. Tonight, that's what we have. We have an endless source of the power of God through the Holy Ghost. God has never said to any of us, that's enough, you're getting too full. But we have the supply as long as we draw, as long as we need, as long as we want.
Amen.
We have the power. We have the source. Would you stand or sit where you're at, kneel where you're at, come to the front, and let's get a hold of the Lord as these begin to sing. And we're just going to pray a prayer in closing here. Precious Savior, we honor who you are. We pray your blessing tonight and that you'll direct every heart. Lord, we're drawn to you tonight and we want to reach out and touch you in our spirit. We want, Lord, to have faith for those who have great needs and for our lives, Lord, that we stand always strong and always ready to do your will. Bless us, Lord, as we seek you tonight in prayer. Amen.
Thank you.
say thank you to the worship team that stood and sang while we had the chance to pray and feel the Spirit of God. Every day that I pray, the Lord convicted me here a while back, and he said, you know, you talk a lot about praise, but when are you doing it? And I thought, okay, be that way, I'll do it. And I listened to the videos on YouTube and hear the great singing and worship songs. I can get 3 hours of worship songs with one click. And I just let those run, and I'm able to praise the Lord and look at those words that are inspired and anointed. I think, wow, you know, that's a blessing. But this is more of a blessing. God bless you and thank you. Precious Lord, we pray that you'll bless our worship team tonight who have gone extra effort and been a blessing to us, and for this opportunity to love you tonight. And we pray, Lord, that you'll just touch each one of us. We've got a week ahead of us. We don't know what's there, but Lord, bring blessings and bring strength in our lives and help us, and we'll give you glory. Amen.
Hallelujah. Thank you.